Welcome to You and Your Money, empowering you to reach your goals with tips to help you plan well, invest well, and live well. I'm Jim Zahansky, Principal Managing Partner and Chief Goals Strategist at Weiss, Hale & Zahansky Strategic Wealth Advisors.
You mentioned, so when it comes to taxes on investment and retirement savings accounts, what are some of the key principles people should understand?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing to think about is there are two essentially, you know, tax deferred accounts, and then there are tax, you know, exempt accounts, and then there are taxable accounts. So what are these tax deferred accounts? Well, they're probably ones you're all using, like 401ks, IRAs, and then you've got taxable accounts. You put money in a taxable account like a Roth IRA or a brokerage account. And I would just say the only difference, right, if you're using a 401k, say you're making $100,000 a year and you're deferring 20% into your 401k, well, your taxable income is now $80,000.
Yeah.
So you see right off the bat, you're essentially reducing your taxable income just by saving that amount of money into your 401k. And obviously an IRA, a traditional IRA, could work the same. The limits annually are different, by the IRS, but essentially those tax-deferred or tax-free accounts are ones that reduce your taxable income. And then the ones that are taxable accounts, a brokerage or a Roth, you're funding with post-tax money.
All right. So again, to minimize taxes, which account should be utilized first?
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to minimize taxes and you can afford to defer some of your income into it, use the tax deferred accounts. Yeah. I mean, essentially they grow, and the beautiful thing about like 401ks and IRAs is the monies you're putting in there are generally pre-tax and they grow tax deferred. You really don't have to, depending on what your age is, you know, you're not taking that money until after you're age 70, mm-hmm. at which time it's likely that your ordinary tax rate is lower. And therefore, essentially it's grown your entire life tax deferred, and you're taking money out later, when your tax rate is lower.
So some people, they also save and invest additional money outside of their formal retirement accounts. What moves can they make to optimize taxes for that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, so, right, you're exactly right. I mean, if you're fully funding up to the $23,000 limit in your 401k, you know, per year, that's what the IRS allows you to save personally in your 401k. If you're looking to fully fund that first and save taxes, then after tax money can be put in things like brokerage accounts. And in those, you know, one of the things that's important is tax loss harvesting. So we do this for clients annually. We look at, you know, if you've had a big gain in a certain holding, you know, if you've held a company that has really had a big gain, how do we offset that with some losses you have in a given year and help you reduce future tax gains? And we think about that at the portfolio level. It sounds complex, but at the end of the day, really what you're doing is looking at these accounts that are post-tax. You funded them with post-tax money. Certain holdings have made money. Some haven't, and we're selling those that haven't to offset some of the gains you've had.
All right. Good ideas here, but let's dig into specifics on how to put this in action. Walk us through your top early moves for taxpayers focused on reducing their burden.
Yeah, I mean, so first thing to think about, right, on the tax side of this is if you're trying to reduce taxable income, fund your 401k to the highest degree you can. As I mentioned, the IRS limit for 2024 is $23,000 pre-tax savings into your 401k. That's the first, and I'd also say, look and pay attention to what your employer is matching, right? If they're matching 4% of your income or 3% of your income, at least defer that. At least defer 3 or 4%, because that's free money from your company. They're matching you. They're sort of enticing you to save for retirement, and at least match that. And I'd also add to that, you know, a lot of people get raises this time of year. If you get a 3-4% raise, tack on 1% to your 401k. Pay yourself first in that scenario and be sure you're at least saving to what the company's matching.
What else should we prioritize?
The other thing to think about is if you're in a high deductible healthcare plan, if you can use a health savings account, this is triple tax free money that essentially can be saved pre-taxed, used to pay medical expenses now or in the future. Those are really obviously very good. And you could also defer, if you're fully maximizing your 401k, you still could fund a traditional IRA. And so, you know, these are sort of the sort of pre-tax and tax-efficient investments that you should think about in relation to your income and should prioritize those first.
What about college savings plans?
Yeah, great question. So if you've done all of the things I just said, yeah, and it's really important for you to sort of reduce the burden, if you have children and you're a family that wants to help them pay for college, then what is your college strategy? Do you want to reduce the entire payment for your child? Do you want to reduce half? Think about that strategy, and then how do you save for it? One of the key vehicles in doing that are 529 college savings plans. You know, in the state of Connecticut, they offer the Connecticut Higher Education Trust 529s. And, you know, funding these for your kids allows tax-deferred savings in 529s if used for educational expenses that are qualified. So basically, any secondary school or even, you know, prior to going to college and those things, you could use money up to $10,000 a year for private school.
Yeah. All right. So, again, we got a lot of great information here, and we appreciate that. And the phones are ringing off the hook because people want to talk to Jim for some great ideas. So, let's wrap up some best overall advice on this topic. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, think this time of year, every time you're sort of going to your accountant or you're filing online at TurboTax or something, you're thinking about, how do I reduce these taxes? Well, one of the ways to do it is to pay yourself using either an IRA or using your 401k and optimizing how much you're saving in there. The takeaway there is at least save what they're giving you for free at the employer. If they're matching you 4%, save at least that, and then try to increase it every year you get a raise. The second one is, if you're funding all of those accounts, consider, you know, and you have a college age kid or someone you want to go to college, consider saving in 529 accounts. These are a tax advantage as well. And then lastly, pay attention in the non-retirement accounts. If you've got, you know, holdings that have had really big earnings, talk to whoever is helping advise you and see if you can offset some of those gains by doing some tax loss harvesting.
As always, thanks for listening to You and Your Money. Find even more episodes, videos, and other resources at our website, whzwealth.com. Municipal bonds are federally tax-free, but may be subject to state and local taxes. And interest income may be subject to federal alternative minimum tax. Bonds are subject to availability and market conditions. Some have call features that may affect income. Bond prices and yields are inversely related. When the price goes up, the yield goes down, and vice versa. Market risk is a consideration if sold or redeemed prior to maturity. The fees, expenses, and features of 529 plans can vary from state to state. 529 plans involve investment risk, including the possible loss of funds. There is no guarantee that an education funding goal will be met. In order to be federally tax-free, earnings must be used to pay for qualified education expenses. The earnings portion of a non-qualified withdrawal will be subject to ordinary income tax at the recipient's marginal rate and subject to a 10% penalty. By investing in a plan outside your state of residence, you may lose any state tax benefits. 529 plans are subject to enrollment, maintenance, and administration and management fees and expenses. As always, thanks for listening to You and Your Money. Find even more episodes, videos, and other resources at our website, whzwealth.com. Whitehale & Zahansky Strategic Wealth Advisors offers securities and advisory services through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Fixed insurance products and services offered through CES Insurance Agency. They practice at 697 Pomfret Street, Pomfret Center, Connecticut, 06259, and can be reached at 860-928-2341. Whitehale & Zahansky Strategic Wealth Advisors do not provide legal or tax advice. The tenured financial services team strive to support clients in achieving their financial life goal. For more information regarding wealth management and customized financial planning with Whitehale & Zahansky Strategic Wealth Advisors, please visit www.whzwealth.com.